chapter 1. And what I have to say at this moment, I hope it doesn't get too far afield, but in the last 5 weeks, I've been at 4 different conferences. It's unusual for me. I don't do that generally. But I don't think all the other conferences put together, personally, have been more of a help to me than what this conference has been. I've thoroughly enjoyed the ministry of our brethren and the harmony and the blessing that the Word of God has been. And for that reason, I have chosen this passage. Actually, I was thinking about going to another passage, but I've decided to, being that I'm the closer, as far as the ministry is concerned, I've decided that I would like to speak on from James chapter 1 and beginning reading from verse 21. James writes, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious..." Now I'm going to put as a heading over verse 26 that this is the hearer. "If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Verse number 27, I would like to put as a title over that, "The Doer." Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now God will bless to us what we've listened to already in this present reading of His precious Word. I don't know how it is here, but in California where we live, you go to the Walmart, and as we have just been hearing, everything is a rush. And so to help expedite the checking out situation that they have there, they have a cylinder where the bag's hanging on it, and you can put your things as the lady is passing them, or whoever, passing these things across, and you are able to bag your own things. And as soon as she gets done with your things, along comes the next person, and they're already putting the other person's things across. But the idea is that you have to really hustle, get your things in the bag, get them off, put them in the cart, or wherever you're going with it, and get out of the store. I don't know if this has happened to you, but you take... and you buy your things, you run up to the cashier, you pass it through there, and you pay for them, you bag them, you go out into the store, you put everything in the car, you head home, you get to the house, you quickly unpack everything out of the car, you're putting it away, and then, oh no, I didn't bring it with me. I know I bought it. I need it. But I left it over there in Walmart. I was in such a hurry, I left it in Walmart. Or let me give you another scenario. You're in school. Monday night, you worked hard. You put your homework together, did a good job, filed it away. Go to school on Tuesday morning. The professor says, "Take out your homework and pass it in." You reach in to where you think it is, and it's not there. And it hits you. Oh no. I left it at home. I left it at home. That's what I have in my heart when I think about being a closer to this ministry meeting and to this ministry that we've heard at this conference. We have before us two aspects to the Word of God. How we receive the Word of God and how we respond to the Word of God. As far as how we receive the Word of God, well, we can receive it or we can reject it. How we respond to the Word of God is we can hear it and that's it. Or we can hear it and do it. As far as the responding to the Word of God, we have two classes of people. The hearer and the doer. We think of these things that James is bringing before us. Verse 21, when it comes to the thought of whether we're going to receive the Word of God or reject it. He says there's two things we have to do. If we're going to be a receiver, a recipient of the Word of God, we have to lay aside certain things and we have to receive certain things. Lay aside, put out of your life, extract from yourself all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, we've heard much about this, and I'm not going to elaborate on it. But I'm sure it's touched our hearts. And there's areas in which we need to do some searching and self-examination. Brother Andrew has given us a list of things that we have to kind of go over and check out. And I thought for sure he was going to mention internet. Don't know if he meant to or not, but anyway. What a tool that is. What a blessing it is, if used rightly. But what a curse it is. You're only a mouse click away from a lot of superfluity of naughtiness. And so in the reception of the Word of God, before we can fully receive it, there has to be some house cleaning done. This word receive is the same word that you have in Acts chapter 21 and verse 17. And when the apostles and those that are with them, they're headed for Jerusalem. And it says that when we come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Now the brethren and sisters from McKeesport at this conference, they know full well what that means. When you get ready for a conference and you're going to have people come into your home, there's adjustments that have to be made. There's house cleaning that has to be done. There's a vacating of homes that rooms that need to be done. It's planning out how you're going to do it. And here is a group of men coming, and they're going to go to Jerusalem. They need housing. And the people in Jerusalem, it says they received them gladly. But before those men could feel comfortable in their homes, there had to be some house cleaning. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul praying for the believers there in Ephesus. And he goes on there, I think it's in about verse 17. His prayer is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That word dwell means that he might feel at home, that he might feel comfortable in your hearts by faith. There is that possibility that there are things that we are harboring and that we're allowing space for in our homes and in our hearts that it's not allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to fill at home. So the Word of God is that which is to be received. And to receive it, there's the necessity of making room for it. Paul, when he's writing to the believers in Corinth, he's giving a good teaching to those of us who have to take public part. He's doing there in chapter 15 and verse 3. He says, that which I received. He's preaching to them and or explaining to them how he does his preaching. He says, first of all, I have to spend time with God, as we've been hearing. I have to spend time in the very presence of God so that I can receive from God. And then he says, that which I have received, he goes on, he says, I delivered it. And so the message that is being spoken, whether it be in the conference or whether it be at the home meeting, in your home assembly, it's something that hopefully the speaker has received it from God. And he's come now and he's discharging his responsibility to deliver it to the assembly. And then he says, ye have received it. So there's that flowing forth of the Word of God from the throne of God where it begins down into the vehicle that God is going to use to communicate the message outwardly to those who should receive the message. When Paul is writing to the believers in Thessalonica, I just think I'll take time to read it, but in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2, I'll read it to you. If you want to turn to it, you can. I'm going to be reading verse 13. He says there, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it two times. Ye received it the first time as the idea, you listened to it. It was a message that was, as we already heard, it came from heaven. It went through the Apostle Paul, out to the believers, out to the hearers. They received it. It was a message that they listened to. But then what does he say? You received it of us. You received the word of God which ye heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that belief. How are we going to digest, assimilate what we've listened to this during these 2 days of conference? That's what those people think. Always hearing the same thing over and over again. Or are we going to take it as it is, in truth, as the believers in Thessalonica took it, as being the Word of God? You know, that's the only way it can work effectually within us. That idea is, it's an ongoing process that is developing you, that's maturing you, that's producing fruit for God in you. It's the difference between carnality and spirituality. You received it, not as it were the words of men, but as it were indeed the word of God. So the importance of receiving the word of God and taking the conference with us. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 2, the writer is referring back to the days of the wilderness with the people of Israel where they were moving across the desert. And they were plagued with unbelief. And it says there in chapter 4 and verse 2, the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What a responsibility is ours as we go away from a conference like this. The word that has been preached . How responsible I will be before God if it doesn't profit me. And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. But how is it going to profit me? Being mixed with faith. I can take a bowl of water. And you jostle me or run into me as I'm walking with this bowl of water, and the water can just splash right out. But if I mix a little powder, a little flour in with the water, and you push against me, It's not likely it's going to go anywhere. Because now it's something that's there to stay. It's been mixed with something. And the problem with those Israelites was that they heard the word, but they didn't mix it with faith. And you know what they did when they heard the word? Well, in Exodus chapter 24, Moses came forth and he brought the word of God to them, and they said, everything that the Lord says, we will do and obey. Oh, they were hearers. But you don't have to go too far down the road with them, and you'll find out that they did not obey. They were hearers, but they were not doers of the word of God. And that takes me to what I would like to spend a little bit of time on this afternoon, about the hearer and the one who hears the word versus the one who is not only a hearer but a doer. Notice, if you will, if we go into James 1 again, he says there in verse number 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. First point, a hearer only. In other words, he absorbs the word of God. Maybe he's an individual who loves to study the Bible. I was going to say something. I think maybe this is going to go on the internet. I don't think I better say it. But let's just put it this way. It's possible to be an individual who loves to study the Bible. And you study the Greek, you study the Hebrew, you absorb everything that you possibly can out of what you study. And if that doesn't have an effect upon your life, if it's not something that you can take and use it for the benefit of others, if it's not producing a true growth, if it's not producing a radical change in your life, then you're just a hearer only. The Word of God only has its effect upon us when it's allowed to be worked out in our lives. It's wonderful to be a student of the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Enjoy it. But study it with this in view. What is God trying to tell me? How is He trying to communicate with me? In order that my life might be changed, to teach me something I need to know. So the hearer, he's just a hearer only. He's just constantly absorbing and not letting it work itself out in his life. But notice, if you will, that James is taking the Word of God and he's looking at it like a mirror. And what do we do with the mirror? Well, we look at ourselves. And as we look into that mirror, it can't change anything. All it can do is expose what's there. But when you come to the Word of God being as a mirror, it not only exposes what's there, but it can change what's there. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. He says, being transformed. And that the Word of God will change us from glory into glory. A progressive effect. A maturing effect. And so the Word of God is as a mirror, he says, and we are able to look. But notice, this person, he comes to the Word of God. He sees what the Word of God is telling him. You'll see that in verse number 24. For he beholdeth himself. Did you see yourself this conference? Was there a phrase? Was there a verse? Was there a message? And you said, that's me? That's me? It touched your heart? Maybe it caused you to go in cold sweats? And you're thinking to yourself, I've got to make a change in this area. I've got to do something about this. You've beheld yourself. But wait. Mothers who have little children, and you're going to send them to school possibly tomorrow. It's been a long weekend. They're tired. It's hard to get them out of bed to go to school tomorrow morning. And they're going to eke out the last moment of being in that bed that they possibly can. They run down to the breakfast table and they, quickly as they can, put something down. And you take a quick look at them and you say, "You're not going anywhere looking like that." And they respond to you, "Well, Mom, I looked at myself in the mirror." Was that good enough? Well, you say, "Well, if you saw yourself in the mirror, then just go ahead, it's all right." And you know what young kids can look like. No, that's not good enough. You're not able to say, or you're not willing to say to that child of yours, "Well, you know, you represent me, and I'm your parent, and I'm one of these days I got to go to a parent-teacher conference, and here you are, and you look all fuzzed out." You're not interested in your child going to school like that, I don't think. You're interested that child goes back and makes the certain and the necessary arrangements, changes, so that when he goes to school, he's going to look decent. Now this person, the hearer only, he beholds himself, and then it says he goes his way. He didn't go back and check himself out. He just didn't have time. He's out the door. Too many things to do. Too much time. I have too many demands to take time to take this, take care of this issue. I must keep pressing, pedal to the metal. Don't have time. Be careful. Because he tells us what happens to this individual. He goeth his way, and straightway, or immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. Could be a man or a woman. You know what he's telling us? The further he gets away from what he saw in that mirror, the easier it is to forget what he had every intention of doing before. The easier it is to be all encumbered with the necessities of life. And before you know it, all those good intentions that he had sitting in the McKeesport High School auditorium have evaporated. They're gone. Is there any more peace? Is there any more comfort? No. The only way he can comfort himself, as we've been hearing about the silence of a David, is by being busier and busier and busier. And we heard about the dragons of time. He forgetteth. And the idea is there that he's now at the point that he doesn't want to change. It's not just, "Oh, I just forgot." But he's gone far enough and he's put enough distance between him and what he listened to. Enough distance between him and what he decided that day, that weekend, that I'm going to make certain changes, certain adjustments. My life is going to count more for God. I am going to be more dedicated to the assembly. I am going to be able to give myself to my family like I should. I've made some honest evaluations of where I am in my life, and I know I need to make some adjustments. And now it's past. And that desire has faded away. Bible says, he that hath ears, let him hear. And that phrase, let him hear, is the idea of hearing with the intent of obeying. Hearing with the intent of submitting to what I've heard. Now, what if I don't do it? What does James tell me? He says, verse 22, about this hearer only. He deceives himself. Deceiving your own selves, he said. I'm going to keep this in California, okay? Let's say you want to buy a new car. And you go to the dealer, and the salesman's there, and he says to you, my, this car, it's a beautiful car. It was owned by a little old lady from Pasadena. And she used it 5 miles every Sunday to go to church, and that was all she used it for. And it's really a nice, good, shiny, beautiful car. So you buy it. You pay good money for it. A month later, the thing starts to cough and sputter, and black smoke comes out the back, the transmission's slipping, the tire falls off, whatever. What do you think immediately? That man down there deceived me. And that's not a good feeling. None of us like it. But that's not what James says. James says, you deceive your own selves. That's far worse. Do you have blind spots? I understand we all do. Actually, we have physical blind spots, but we have spiritual blind spots. And what the Word of God is for is to shine light on my blind spots. Because I can't see them. Maybe everybody else can, but I can't. And maybe I think everything is going good. And I've been able to talk myself into doing what I'm doing, and I've been able to do everything that was in my power to justify what I'm doing. But that's not the answer. James is warning us, don't be deceived. I'm thinking about Jacob. Remember how Jacob was deceiving himself? How when the brothers came back and they said to Jacob, listen, Jacob, you know, the man up there in Egypt, whoever he may be, he has commanded that before we come back again, we must bring our younger brother Benjamin with us. And Jacob is wringing his hands and he says, this cannot be. There's no option to this. It's a no. My son Benjamin will not go. Time goes by, the cupboards are bare, and he looks at his sons and he says, what's going on? Why don't you go back to Egypt and get some things? And Judah comes forward, he says, Dad, we can't. That man says, don't come back here until you bring your brother with you. Jacob gets angry. He's looking for an scapegoat. Well, who's the scapegoat? It happens to be the boys. How often that happens? Because of something that I've got going on in here, I'm angry with what's going on out there. And the problem isn't so much out there, it's in here. And Jacob is unwilling to bow, he's unwilling to submit, he's rather deceive himself to the plan that God has for him in his life. Until finally Jacob breaks. He does something he should have done a long time ago. He commits the whole matter, his son, the whole trip, everything, into the hands of God Almighty. Well, you know the rest of the story. That was the beginning of the rest of the life for Jacob. Everything started unfolding. Everything came together. And he got what he so desperately desired to have. And far, far more. James is warning us about the dangers of being just a hearer only. But he turns our direction to a doer. He says there back up again in verse number 22, be ye doers. That word, or that a phrase in its verb tense, I understand it, is the idea that they really were not doing the work that they should have been doing. They were not engaged as much as they should have. So he's telling them, get busy. Get started. What a wonderful time it would be after a conference like this to say, Lord, I'm going to become a doer. I can look back and I take my little timesheet that we've been talking about, hearing about, and I can look and I see a lot of holes. I see a lot of empty spots that are so unnecessary. I'm going to fill them now with things for God. I'm going to be a doer. I'm going to take the word of God that I've listened to and I'm going to put it and implant it into my life and make it work for me. You know what to be a doer? He gives us a little instructions of what it means to be a doer. First of all, he says, again in verse, he goes down in verse 25, this man looks into the glass as well. He's looking into the mirror as well. And how does he look? Oh, he looks quite a bit different in a different way than that first man did. That first man took a quick glance and looked at it and said, went on. But this individual who looks, he looks intently. It's the word that Peter uses when he says that the angels desired to look upon these things. It was with a passion they wanted to see it. It's the idea that when they came to the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, they knelt down and they examined with great care. In a way that was meticulous, they examined what was going on and what happened. And as the more they saw it, the idea that he's not here, he's risen, it grew in their hearts. And as we were hearing, I think it was from our brother Gene yesterday, it transformed their lives. They looked. And they understood what they looked at. Next thing. When you look, it's not like looking at a painting. If you got pimples, if you got warts, the professional photographer can touch them up. And you never know they're there. But the mirror only shows them up. And you know they're there. And you think to yourself, I don't like what I see. Well, I tell you, if you don't like what you see today, and you just let it go, you'll like it less next year at this time if the Lord be not come. But the surprising part that James teaches us, yes, there are warts, and yes, there are pimples, and yes, there are things that are despicable to our eyes. But as we look at them, and we exercise what is needed and what is required to extract them, it brings us into the perfect law of liberty. The devil, the world, the impression that the world makes, the message that the world sends is telling us, you do that and you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. You do that and it will ruin you. But God is saying, you do that and it will liberate you and it will bring you into the full and complete meaning of the life that God has for you. It's the perfect law of liberty. And then he says, it's not something you just do for a weekend. We're not looking at weekend warriors here. This is not the reserve team. It's something that we continue in. And that word continue means go alongside of. Ever see it? one of these long mirrors, and there's Dad standing there, and in his hand next to him is his son. His son looks up at his dad's image on that mirror, and he says, "Ma, that's what I want to be." He's probably only 5 years old when he's thinking like that, because when he gets 15, he doesn't look like think that way anymore. But he's looking at his dad. He says, "Boy, I'd like to be like my dad." Well, that's what James is saying. As you look at the perfect law of liberty, and you stand beside it, looking in that mirror that shows you what you are, and you might feel no bigger than that today. But as you look at it, you say, "That's what I want to be. I want to be where my life walks in unison with that. I want to march in step with what God has for me to do." Continuing in the perfect law of liberty. And then he says, this man, he's not a forgetful here. He's not that individual who saw himself and immediately takes off. He's the individual who has meditated deep into these matters, and he's thought carefully about these matters. And he's not something that's just going to flee away at the first incident or the first time something comes around. He's not going to get caught up in that same, what'd you call him? We used to have one of those things that go around like that. Hamster, that's what it was. He's not really caught up in that anymore. He says he's going to listen. He's not going to forget it. He's going to become a doer. And now what is he? The doer of the work. "Oh, I've been busy all along." No, you haven't. You've been busy maybe, but not in the work. Now he becomes busy. And he's doing as a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds or in his work. Wonderful thing when you can trace the hand of God in the work that you are seeking to do for him. You don't have to be a missionary to do this. You don't have to be a preacher to do this. You just be what you are in your assembly where you are. And enjoy the blessing of God's hand upon you, and the assembly will be blessed by your presence. You will enrich the assembly. And the assembly will be very, very happy to have you. Blessed, satisfied, happy in his deeds. I close with this. I've never been out there, but they tell me that in the Dead Sea, there are 6 million tons of water that pours into there every day. But the salt content of the Dead Sea is about 26%. On a normal ocean, it's about 6%. The salt contents of the Dead Sea is 26%. Why? Because the water that flows into the Dead Sea stays there. It's stagnant. The only way it's removed is by evaporation. And that's the reason why it's so salty. A ways down the Jordan River, there's another sea. It's called the Sea of Galilee. I understand that the waters there are crystal clear. Blue, sweet, full and vibrant with fish. It's a pleasant place to be. What makes the difference? In the Sea of Galilee, there are many outlets. And the water flows through those outlets. And what it receives, it goes through out to other places. It is there as a body of water, bringing blessing to those who are there in a body of water. But it flows out in blessings to others, even beyond. To be a hearer only is to be like the Dead Sea. Just hits and stops. To be a doer is like the Sea of Galilee. It comes in, it refreshes, it cleanses, and then it moves out. This man's deeds are being blessed because he's moving in the attitude and the atmosphere that God has made for him. God has a plan for him, as he has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. And I trust, as we come to the last part of the ministry part of this conference, that we'll reflect and take a moment of time and ask ourselves the question, what will be my attitude as I leave this time of rich blessing? Will I receive it or will I reject it?